This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to make your daily life happier. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. Usually I record this podcast in a studio in downtown Brooklyn, but tonight I'm in Seattle, live on stage with my sister, Elizabeth Graff.
Yes, Gretch, yay! We're here in Seattle. I'm Elizabeth Graff, still a TV writer and producer who lives in LA, but we came to Seattle to record this live episode. Yay. And of course, I want to say hi to Adam and Jack, yes, who came with me from LA. Thanks for being here.
Our special guest. So hello, everyone. So it is so fun to be here, and it is so fun to be doing our second live show. And Elizabeth, there's a special terror in doing your first live show. And I remember when we were doing our first live show, I said, we will never again have to do our first live show. So this is much more fun.
Yes. I still took 2 beta blockers, but they weren't as direly needed. Yeah. So next time, 1 beta blocker.
Yeah. We got a lot coming up tonight. We've got to try this at home, of course. We're going to do a deep dive in a manifesto, and we are going to talk to the brilliant Chris Guillebeau.
We'll also tackle some happiness stumbling blocks related to the 4 tendencies. We'll do a happiness hack speed round with the audience. And as always, we'll end with demerits and gold stars.
Yes, we have to hit that.
Now, Gretch, before we get into our try this at home, I have to mention that in our last episode, episode 76, we talked about how one way to extend vacation mode is to read a book that takes place in the city that you've been to.
Yeah, one of our listeners suggested that.
Yes, and I did that proactively before coming here, and I read Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple, and so many people tweeted me to read this book, and I loved it, and I mean, my trip is all over this book. Like, the Westin figures prominently in the book. Yeah. We're both staying at the Westin. Somebody had tweeted me to go to a restaurant called Lola, and then I read about it in the book, so I'm like, okay, I'm making a reservation. We're taking Jack to the top of the Space Needle to the rotating restaurant, also in the book.
Yeah.
Town Hall is in the book.
Yes.
So it's all over the place. So that was awesome.
And I have to say that I had like a moment of connecting with a place through a book because of jet lag. I was up at 4:30 in the morning, and I was looking at the weather, and I see the weather map of the whole area. And I see Forks. And I am a huge Twilight fan.
Hey.
So I saw that.
Team Edward.
Yeah. And so that was a really fun way to connect with the area. Now, for this Try This at Home, it is to try picking your happiness 911 song.
Okay, now that seems fairly self-explanatory, happiness 911, but tell us more.
Okay.
So the thing is, to be happy, we all know, it's sort of a long game. You got to get enough sleep. You got to get a little bit of exercise. You have to tackle nagging tasks. You have to plan for fun. You know, so these are things that unfold over time. But sometimes you're in a happiness emergency and you need, you know, it's Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. and you need an emergency mood boost right now. And research shows, and I think everybody knows this from experience, that listening to music is one of the quickest, easiest ways to intervene in your mood. It can have enormous influence on our state of mind. For instance, research shows that if patients are allowed to choose their music, they can lower their blood pressure, their anxiety level, their heart rate. And so it's just a really easy way to get that lift if you need it.
Yeah, I will say this is just one advantage. There are a few, but one advantage of having to do so much commuting in LA is you spend a lot of time in the car. Yeah. And aside from listening to podcasts, you can listen to your happiness 911 songs over and over. you know, if you know you're going to have a bad day or you're coming off of a bad day, it's a good thing to do in the car.
So you want to have that, you know, identify what those songs are going
to
be.
Yeah. And of course, this song, Gretch, we're about to play is one of my happiness 911 songs. And I have many times listened to it on repeat in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Love the boss. My favorite line in this song is, "You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right." Because I'm like, you know what? I'm all right. It's all right.
Now, and I've got to say, Elizabeth, before we play the clip of my song, is that there was a song that you and I agreed up front that we could not pick.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Happy by Pharrell.
Yeah.
Like, off the table.
Off the table. Off the
Too
table.
Too cliche.
Too cliche. So here's my song. We've come a long, long way together, through the hard times and the good. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should. Praise You by Fatboy Slim, and I always think of this as like the anthem for my marriage, because the words are like, we've come a long, long way together through the bad times and the good. I ought to celebrate you, baby. I ought to praise you like I should. And I think, I should praise Jamie like I should. I should. And so that's like my good psych-up song.
Of course, I would expect you to want him to praise you and give you gold stars. Being
I'll
the gold star junkie.
Yes, it's enough. Yeah. I'll put it on his playlist. Right, 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 to remind him. Now, Kristen, we want you to come give us the song for your Happiness 911 song.
Well, this is a really hard thing to do because I love music, and you guys know where I'm going for my honeymoon in a few weeks. I'm going to Dollywood.
Dollywood.
Yeah, we were betting that you would pick a Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, so I'm a Dolly super fan, but instead of choosing a Dolly song, I can't just pick one Dolly song. That's too hard. But I do really love a song by Dolly Parton's goddaughter, Miley Cyrus, called Party in the USA. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man.
All right. Extra gold stars for the dancing.
Two gold stars of dancing. Elizabeth, I think you and I are going to have to do like some dance lessons as part of
You're saying that as you look at me?
No, I'm just thinking myself. I'm like, I think there might be.
Dad has suggested that to me after weddings, by the way.
Oh, really? yeah, so I think there's a try this at home. We'll be developing. If you have any ideas, email us about how we should do that.
Speaking of dad, we also have a family happiness 911 song.
Yeah, yeah.
A few, actually.
Yeah, no, and I think these are ones that we kind of think of them as sort of family songs that always make us feel happier together.
I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
And that, of course, is Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Our parents saw Wrecking Crew, and this like got us all re-engaged in the Beach Boys. So we've been listening to a lot of Beach Boys lately.
Yeah, it was between Beach Boys, Mamas and the Papas,
and
Willie Nelson.
I really thought hard about whether Mamas and the Papas should be the Happiness 911 song for our family. But like, how can you say no to Good Vibrations? I felt like that had to win. But
yeah, absolutely.
But so try this at home. Pick your Happiness 911 song. And here's the thing. Send them to us. Because we are going to do a Happiest 911 playlist on Spotify so that you can listen to everybody's song. And so send them to us, and then once that's ready, we'll let you know how you can get it. And if you're like me and don't know how to use Spotify, we will have like a thing about how you can. And so we can all listen to the great music together.
Yeah, so send those to podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
Yes, thank you, yes.
And you will hear more of our Happiness 911 songs throughout the night whenever we're going to go from one segment to the next. So we are starting that right now with one that makes me want to boogie. So that, of course, is Boogie Shoes by KC and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah, and I like that you got a little KC reference in there.
Yes.
Yeah, because well, we're both from Kansas City, so it's not the same KC, but it's a KC.
It's a KC.
It's a KC. So now, deep dive into manifestos. In episode 76, we talked about why writing a manifesto about some aspect of your life, whatever it is, can be a very kind of creative, thought-provoking, happiness-boosting exercise, because it really forces you to sit down and to clarify your thoughts, your values, and to, you know, put it in a succinct form. And there's just something very, very satisfying about that. And we have just been inundated with people's manifestos, and these are just so satisfying and fascinating to read. So we wanted to do a deep dive, and we're gonna go through a few. And we're not going to be able to talk about every element of the manifestos because it would take too long. So, but we'll pick out a couple of the more interesting ones as we go.
So, Gretch, let's start with your manifesto. Yep. Way back when you wrote the Happiness Project, yep, that was a huge part of it.
Yeah,
you came up with your 12 personal commandments.
Yes.
So, what are they?
So, the first one and the most important one is be Gretchen. Second, let it go. Three, act the way I want to feel. Four, do it now. Five, be polite and be fair. Six, enjoy the process. Seven, spend out. Eight, identify the problem. Nine, lighten up. 10, do what ought to be done. 11, no calculation. And 12, there is only love.
So, okay, one I want to talk about is spend out.
Yeah.
Because for you, especially because you're an underbuyer, so even the notion of spend out is interesting coming from you.
So spend out is the most obscure. So I have kind of a hoarding nature, and I will often hold things back. And so, like, I will buy 3 beautiful new white T-shirts, and then I will leave them pristine on the shelf and keep wearing my same tired old yellowing T-shirts because I'm like, I want to save these nice ones. Or I'll get great stationery for Christmas, but then I will never use it because I'm like, oh, I got to save this stationery. Or I'll have an idea, and I think, oh, I could put that idea on my blog, but maybe I should hold it back. I should save it. And so spend out is to remind me to use things up, to put things into circulation, to put things to use in the world.
Well, what's interesting is we have the same thing in the writer's room. In TV, because it's like a lot of times you'll have a good idea and you'll want to save it for another episode,
yeah,
but like, let's not 100%. Use that here. And what we've come to realize is put every good idea in every episode and just assume you'll have another good idea.
Right, right.
In the future.
Right. And that's what I found too, is that with creativity, like you're much better off, or I'm much better off like lavishing it out rather than doling it out by a teaspoon. And you just sort of have to trust in abundance and that there's going to be more.
And then what about number 11, no calculation? What does that mean?
So this goes to another possible limitation of mine. So my spiritual master is Saint Therese of Lisieux, and Saint Therese said, "When one loves, one does not calculate." And I'm a definite calculator. I'm a scorekeeper. I'm a bean counter. I did this, so you have to do that. I had my turn. Now it's your turn. And so I remind myself of the words of Saint Therese: no calculation. I should just like give and like do the right thing and do the loving thing and not like be keeping a secret scorecard in my back pocket.
So you don't have a scorecard with me of like what you've done for the podcast and what I've done?
No, I don't. Okay, and I will say that no calculation.
All right.
Yeah. Now, next we want to talk about a manifesto from a listener, because we asked for listeners. Marianne, are you here? Teacher, high school teacher. Marianne, are you here? Yay, come on up. Excellent. Yeah. Come on this way. So the stairs are around that way. Oh, so this is fantastic. So Marianne is a high school teacher at an all-girls school here in Seattle, and she wrote a great manifesto on teaching that, like a lot of these manifestos, it's very specific, but then it also has all these excellent reverberations.
Thanks for being here, Marianne. Yay.
We're not getting up because then we would mess up our microphones. Yeah. But it's so great to
have
you here.
I hope you don't mind.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I hope this is a good surprise and not a bad surprise.
Yeah, this is a good surprise.
Excellent. Well, so will you take us through your manifesto?
Okay. This is Mrs. McGaw's.
I love that. I love that, the title.
One, start with a question. Two, connect before I correct. Three, whoever is doing the talking is doing the learning. Four, do not eat free food unless it is an entire meal. Number five, develop skills over facts. Number six, technology is a tool rather than the content. Number seven, assume positive intention. Number eight, not how smart you are, but how are you smart? Number nine, it's not about me yet. Number 10, I'm a role model in all I do, whether I feel like it or not.
Now, can I just say, if I knew that my child's teacher had this manifesto, how happy I would be. Because your values come through with this. This says everything about your values and what kind of teacher you want to be. It's just amazing to read.
So can we ask you about connect before I correct?
Yeah.
We both love that phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. So I learned this from my colleague who learned it from a parenting class, actually. And so it's just that reminder that sometimes as a teacher and as a parent, I think we can notice what's wrong first, but it always goes better when we just take the time to connect with somebody. Or even this week, I was like asking kids about how their volleyball match went before maybe I reminded them that they were out of dress code or something like that. That I think it always just helps people to when you connect with them first.
Yes, that's great advice in parenting. Also,
I was just thinking that without my daughters. And what about in the last one? I'm a role model in all that I do, whether I feel like it or not. What's that?
I think that especially high school kids and probably elementary school kids too, they notice everything that I do. So, you know, even when I'm out at parking duty, they're noticing what I'm doing. And maybe I just feel tired or it's rainy and I don't feel like being there. But it's important to remember that they're noticing and that I can make them feel good or show them that I'm following through, even if I'm tired and I don't feel like it.
Wow.
So, I mean, these are great things to think about in every context with adults, with parents. Yeah. So this was fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's
so
give
much.
A shout out to your students.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mrs. McGaw. Thank you.
That is so fun.
Okay, now we have one more audience member who hopefully arrived from Vancouver. Is Jen here?
Jen moved from Toronto to Vancouver. To go to graduate school. Yes?
She's here.
Yay!
You made it. So Jen just moved from Toronto to Vancouver, as Gretchen said, to go to graduate school. And to help with this big transition, she wrote a manifesto about how to deal with this new season of life. And we love that phrase. Hi, thanks for being here. Thank you.
Sit.
So this is your new season of life.
It is, yes.
Just that phrase I love.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good example of a manifesto, like, where it kind of can shape the whole way you think about things. It's, totally. You know, you can sort of see that you're in this season in a new way. So take us through your manifesto.
So too much of a good thing ruins everything. lean in, grow where you're planted. Go deep rather than wide. Everything's always gets done. And don't treat gifts as burdens. Ooh,
so what does go deep rather than go wide mean?
I guess I was meeting in my new season a lot of new people and had a lot of new experiences that I could have or didn't have to have and could choose kind of like right. this way. And so I was like, well, in my choosing, I'm going to selectively choose where I can go deep with relationships and with like what I like could really invest rather than like doing a ton of things that and not do them well.
Interesting.
That's smart. Better to have, like we always say, make three friends who really become real lifelong friends than like 20 people you're going to coffee with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And that's hard when you're in a new place and sort of figuring it out. And then what is, don't treat gifts as burdens. That's
this is a line of a song of an artist I like, Ginny Owens. And so I'm studying right now. And so there's a lot of work. And I'm like, it's a gift to study, but I sometimes don't feel like that. So it's like, I keep trying to remind myself that it's not a burden. Yeah. It's a gift. So I need to treat it not like a gift, not like a burden.
Oh,
so.
That's well, this like reminds
profound
me,
insight.
This reminds me of your sign.
That's right. I have a sign in my office that says it's a fun job and I enjoy it. To Sarah, my writing partner, had them made because we had to remind ourselves.
Yes.
It's a fun job and I enjoy it. Sometimes it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it is a gift, not a burden.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the next sign we have to make. Yeah. You know.
No, because it is easy to like be dragged down with all the things. I mean, this is like the good happiness point, which is you can focus on the negatives and the burdens and the annoyances and the to-do list and everything and forget like, I'm exactly where I wanted to be, or this is what I've been hoping for. Or, I've been working towards this and this is, you know, giving me what I want.
Exactly. And I don't want to look back and think, oh, I ruined it.
Yes.
I didn't enjoy it.
I didn't enjoy it.
When I really had a gift in front of me. So.
And people say that all the time, that they do that in retrospect. So it's like, learn from those who have come before us.
Yeah. And that's why having that new season is so helpful, is to think like, what do I want this new season to be? Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Good. Jen, thank you so much.
Jen. Big, big gold star for Jen and Marianne.
Okay, Elizabeth, now you're up.
Yes, so I crazily agreed to do my marriage manifesto for tonight.
She committed to that.
I was
advance.
Like, oh, that'll be fun. Now, first of all, I have to say, this isn't what I actually do. This is what I aspire to do.
Manifestos, they can be aspirational.
And then I also have to say, Adam is hearing this for the first time. I didn't do this with him. I just decided to go it alone. So after the show, he's going to have to tell me if he even likes this manifesto and agrees with it. I know certain points he'll agree with.
So I have to say, like, I think this could be a really cool thing. It's like, if you have, like, in a couple, both sweethearts, both do their manifestos and then you, like, compare and discuss. I think that would be great. I've got to say, there's no way Jamie would ever agree to do that. It's like last thing he would agree to do. But I think
I don't know if Adam would or not. Well, I'm not going to put him on the spot right now.
So let's hear. What is
Number one, use a kind voice. That actually came from Adam. That was his idea.
Yeah.
In another context.
Yeah.
Number two, pick up. Number three, assume the best, accept the worst. Number four, temples are there to be rubbed. Number five, devices down. Number six, say yes. Number seven, nag sparingly. And number eight, if not him, then an exact replica.
I think this is a pretty good universal manifesto.
Yeah? Okay.
Wait, so but temples are there to be rubbed. What's that about?
Yeah, that's very specific to Adam. He gets a lot of migraines, and so I know that it gives him just momentary relief from his migraines if I rub his head really hard. And it's something I did a lot, like when we started dating and we were first married. Maybe I've, you know, not done it as much in recent times. So I want to remind myself to do that because I know he loves it and it gives him this this just amazing relief. So I always want to be that person to give him relief.
Right. That's a good one. And then what is this? If not him, then an exact replica. It says it has a slight science fiction cast to it.
I remind myself, like, if, let's say if we have a fight or something. I'm like, you know what? If I didn't have Adam, no matter what he's doing, I would just be out looking for someone exactly like him. So, I got to get it together with him because if I didn't have him, I would just be searching for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, it's, on the one hand, it's deeply romantic. On the other hand, it doesn't sound that romantic. Yeah.
It is.
But it's actually very deeply romantic.
Yeah. So that is my marriage manifesto, and I'll get my report card on that later.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Oh, well, it was so fascinating to read these.
Yes. Sorry if we didn't get all of them, but
we
read and enjoyed all of them.
Yes.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
And that is Ponder Replay by Rihanna. And I looked up, what does Ponder Replay mean? And it's like, put it on replay. You know, put it on repeat. So, Ponder Replay.
That is a good Happiness 911 song, Rich.
Yeah, that's maybe my best Happiness 911 song. But now, we get to talk to Chris Guillebeau. Huge treat. So I've been friends with Chris Guillebeau for a long time. And I first heard of him because he has this wonderful blog called The Art of Nonconformity. And he's written several excellent New York Times best-selling books, like $100 Startup, The Happiness of Pursuit, which, by the way, I was very annoyed when I saw that title because I'm like, why didn't I get that title? Love that title. And then most recently, he wrote a book called Born for This, which is about how to find the work that you were meant to do. And he also holds a really great conference, the World Domination Summit, every summer in Portland.
Chris writes about happiness, productivity, and figuring out how to get the life you want. And this is intriguing. He recently completed a 10-year quest to visit all 193 countries in the world.
Yeah, huge.
Which was, wow.
So let's welcome Chris Guillebeau.
All right, so Chris, what that was your Happiness 911 song. What was it?
Yes, it was. Thank you so much. When you asked me to pick my Happiness 911 song, you know, I immediately first thought of my personal hero and the best entertainer in the world, Taylor Swift. But, you know, I realized that that might be too common of a selection. She's probably, you know, everyone's personal hero. So,
you know, I think she's an upholder, by the way.
Is she really?
I called that.
You said that, and I've been doing a lot of research.
So instead, I chose a song called Dark Blue by Jack's Mannequin, and it's just a very fun, high-energy song. I listen to it when I'm running. Whenever it comes up on my playlist, I notice I run faster. I'm not really an athlete. I don't run very fast. But there was recently some scientific research that came out that said, you know, if you listen to, like, you know, high upbeat, high energy songs. When you work out, you're going to have a better workout, which anyone who's ever exercised probably already knew.
Yeah.
But now you have a scientific basis for it.
Well, so Chris, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the four tendencies, but I want to talk about it a minute here because you are a rebel.
So you say.
Yeah. And I'd love to just talk to you about that for a minute. Now, just for anybody who doesn't know about the four tendencies, I'll get into the whole thing in a little bit, but just as a refresher about rebels. So rebels are people who, they resist outer and inner expectations. So they want to do what they want to do in their own way, in their own time. And if people ask or tell them to do something, they're very likely to resist. So does this ring true for you when I say you're, because to me, you seem, you've got rebel written all over you.
So obviously I took the quiz and I didn't want to come out as a rebel.
Right.
I was like, maybe I'm a questioner because, you know, I thought, I was like, well, inner expectations, outer expectations, if it's something that I believe in, of course I'm going to do it. And if it's an outer expectation, like, you know, you called and asked me to come, I said, well, of course I'm going to do that. I would love to do that. Yeah. So to me, in my mind, maybe
I was
thinking,
like... But do you know when
I
would write you emails, you may not have noticed it, I would say, like, if you feel like it, you could give us your happiness 911 song.
Did you do that just for me?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I feel so special.
If it would be
she
fun for you to come.
All of us differently.
That's great.
Okay, now we've been talking about manifestos tonight. And Chris, you have a great manifesto. And looking at everything you've written, it seems like you've managed to crystallize all your major ideas about how people can do what they were born to do in this four-point manifesto. So let's just go through it and you can, you know, you can school us. Should we just start with number one
and
talk about it?
Yeah. So you don't have to live your life the way other people expect.
So that's kind of the central affirmation that I try to do in the Art of Nonconformity, and it kind of comes from
this
quote.
That's kind of the tag of your work.
Right. This is my email signature. You know, for 10 years, it's been like this quote. Like once in a while, it really hits people. They don't have to live, you know, according to expectations or the way they've been told.
Right.
And I think that's really important because, you know, like all of us in our lives, like we have been told certain things, and maybe they're truth, but maybe they're myth. And it's very important to figure out, okay, what is my belief? What is my true self? It's not, doesn't mean that I am rebelling or that I'm nonconformist about every single thing in the world, right? But it does mean that I'm going to decide for myself and that I'm going to internalize and choose my own values and then choose, like, how do I live out those values in a way that is true to me, but also hopefully, you know, good for the world as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of my biggest struggles in adulthood is letting go of other people's expectations and defining my own. I feel like I'm very much in the box, and getting out of the box is terrifying. So I think that's important.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it's hard even to understand how you're accepting other people's expectations without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. That it is a huge challenge to realize, like, I don't have to accept this if I don't want to. I can look beyond it. I can make my own decisions, but it's like even to see the framework that's been built around you is, it's like one of the big challenges of our lives.
So even if you're an obliger, perhaps, I would say, like, it's not about necessarily like changing your whole worldview and your experience, but I think there is great satisfaction, perhaps, maybe, in finding something that, like, I've been doing this just for no good reason, really, but because there was some expectation, and the costs to not doing it are not that great, actually, but I'm getting a lot of satisfaction by choosing my own way.
Can I just reference the great thank you note debate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like there's like a giant controversy about whether a person should write thank you notes to a 40-person, 6-year-old birthday party.
Oh, wow. And I will say Gretchen was like the only person almost who felt that we shouldn't write thank you notes. But anyway,
we digress.
Okay, so number two, you can do good things for yourself and help other people at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when I started that project, you know, 8 years ago, a big part of it was chronicling the quest that you mentioned, Gretchen, of going to every country in the world. And that was a personal quest. It wasn't like a charity project. It was something that I felt like I had to do for myself.
And was this something that you'd like from your, like when you were a child, you thought like, I want to go to every country in the world.
Nope.
Like you'd look at the atlas or did it come to you like in it, like suddenly?
I don't think anyone chooses something like that. Any kind of quest. I think you come to it over time. So I love to travel.
Yeah.
I had a lot of experiences in West Africa where I was working as an aid worker. And I was always a list maker like you and a goal setter. And so I kind of put these two things together at a certain point. And I made a list of all the countries I'd been to. And I was like, well, this is fun. You know, let me try to go to like 100 countries.
Yeah.
And as I worked toward that, You know, then it was like, okay, let's go to every country, 193.
And so did that's the number change while you were in the doing
Only
it?
Only once.
Oh.
Yeah. South Sudan became a country when I was about maybe two-thirds of the way through. So it was 192 when I started, and then it's 193. But I went there.
Wow.
So anyway, good things for yourself. Personal quest, I think that's wonderful. But you can also do things, good things for other people at the same time. I think like sometimes we hear that there's this dichotomy between it. And like we are choosing, ourselves, or we are choosing others. And I think one of the most beautiful things in life is when you do something that makes you happy, but that other people are also enjoying as well, which we can see here tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, and it's, Don't tell us if not. But one of the, in my second splendid truth, one of the things is I think everybody accepts that, like, one of the best ways to make yourself happy is to make other people happy. That's widely understood. But what's less well understood is that one of the best ways to make other people happy is to be happy yourself. Mm-hmm. And that it is a false choice, and that you can make yourself happy and do things for other people. And then when you're happy yourself, then you're more able to think about the problems of the world and other people as well. And so it's like a way to give yourself the emotional wherewithal to push outward as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you don't decide for yourself what you want to get out of life, someone else will end up deciding for you.
Mm.
Right.
This sounds like something maybe you hear from a lot of your readers and your listeners.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of emails from, people working at jobs in which they are dissatisfied, and they've just kind of, stumbled into those jobs, and they're trying to, figure out, What are the next steps? Do I change my career? Do I start a business? What do I do?
Yeah.
But I think, to go back to the point about most of us, we don't actually know our life purpose when we're 20 years old, but that is the kind of the pressure that society puts on us when you choose your college major, like you're making all these decisions.
Yeah.
I think there's great power in changing your mind. And I think there's a lot of power in giving up on something even and saying, actually, I was doing that for a while. But I'm, it was fine for a while, but now I want something else because life is short. So, I did a lot of research about giving up in particular with the last book. And
yeah, that was really interesting because I feel like that's a place where people are like, never, never, because I wrote a book about Winston Churchill, never, 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 never give up. And it's like,
you never give up except when you should give up.
Except when you should give up, which is the rest of his quotation. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because we often hear like persistence is like this mythology of American culture, like persistence is the predictor of success. And you hear all these stories about people who try things like 40 times and on the 41st time, he succeeded or whatever. But, what I saw through a lot of research is it's not persistence, it's flexibility, it's adaptation. It's actually being willing to say, again, like I came to this crossroads, I made a choice and it wasn't the right choice, or maybe it was the right choice, for a time. But it's not the right choice now, so I'm going to do something different. That's okay.
And you feel like people can do this well into their life. It's not like
absolutely.
You only have your 20s to give up and start something
absolutely.
New.
I mean,
keep doing that.
No, I'm fortunate to have a wonderful community of people of all ages and backgrounds. And some of my favorite emails, actually, are people of retirement age or just choosing a completely new career or a new walk of life or a big adventure. Maybe not going to every country in the world, but going to see parts of the world that they'd only heard of before, or starting a business at a later age. I think it's wonderful.
And do you think, and like this idea that if you don't decide, then others will decide. And it does seem like that happens. Like if you don't seize the reins and take control, then sort of life forces just will move you one way or the other. Like that you have to steer it or else the current, I'm searching for the metaphor here, but like if you don't grab the steering wheel, the current will bear you along.
You'll end up just doing what your parents want you to do.
That's good. There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's not like forces is a good word because it's not like there's one person who's like, here's how your life is going to be.
Yeah.
But yet, I think most of us can see if we can either make active choices or passive choices.
Yes, that's a good
one. And the passive choice is like, there is the stream.
Right.
I'm going to continue driving my car through the stream.
Right. I'm a doctor because both my parents were doctors. I'm getting married because everybody I know is getting married. I took this job because somebody offered me this job.
This is what is known to me. This is the environment.
Yeah.
Right. And if that's where you're happy, then of course that's wonderful.
You know?
I get a lot of emails from people sometimes who say like, I'm pretty happy. Like, what's wrong with me?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's great. It's great that you're happy in your traditional job. I'm happy for you. But I actually hear from a lot of people who are, discontented or dissatisfied and like they want to make a change.
Right. Okay. And then number four is there's usually more than one way to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking beforehand, actually recording this here in Seattle, Washington. I went to grad school at University of Washington, and I applied.
Let's give it up.
Right. And when I applied to go to grad school, I was living in Liberia, doing that aid worker position, and I did not take the GRE because I knew I'd be terrible at it. Like, I really knew my quantitative scores would be mediocre at best, right? And so grad school decisions, like, are often made around that. So I thought, like, I'm not going to win by competing in that fashion. So I wrote an essay, and, you know, in my essay, I said a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I said, like, this is the only program I'm applying to, and if I get in, I am coming. Right.
And can I just say, side note, this is a thing that rebels often do. I've heard over and over, rebels apply to one school. I was dumbstruck when Chris told me this. Yes.
And then the second thing was, I obviously had to address, you know, this whole issue of the fact that GRE scores are required, you know, for application. And so I think I wrote something about, hey, I'm like applying from post-conflict, you know, state here in West Africa, and there's no clean water anywhere in the country, so we're working on that first. And then sanitation, like healthcare, electricity eventually, but, you know, we'll come to standardized testing at some point, right? But for right now, it's a little bit low on the priorities list. And, I mean, what's funny is, like, I wasn't trying to be arrogant. For me, it was just a strategy because I knew I wouldn't be accepted if I had taken that test and had mediocre results. And so they sent me an acceptance letter along with an award for top scholar, which I thought was interesting.
Because
I'm not a scholar.
Hey, right. More than one way to accomplish something.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's great.
Okay, now, Chris, finally, we asked all of our guests if they have a try this at home to share with our audience. Do you have a try this at home?
If you feel like it,
if you want to. Actually, I feel like leaving right now, Gretchen. But before I leave, I'll tell you my try this at home. And my try this at home, which can be a try this anywhere, is to be a detective wherever you go.
Ooh.
And I like to look at the behind the scenes of stuff. I like to kind of figure out the process or decode something. And so you can do this in a lot of different ways. If you ever watch a TV show or a movie, if the screenplay is well done, then, you know, every scene is there for a reason. Not just every scene, but really every dialogue, you know, even like the blocking of the actors, it's all done for a reason. So I like to kind of understand or at least predict, like, why is this here, right? I'm reading a novel. You know, same thing. Like, where is the author leading me? Like, why is this particular thing here? Mm. If you're out and about, you know, if you go to IKEA, which I try not to do, but I have been to IKEA. Like, you can't just go in and get something at IKEA, right? Like, you have to go through the whole maze, and that's done for a reason, right? So it's interesting to kind of ask yourself, or at least for me, it is. Maybe I'm the only person in the world who likes this. You know, try this at home.
I
like to just kind of say, okay, why was this done? And it's not about criticizing it, it's just about trying to understand it, or maybe puzzle something out about it.
But also I think it's a good example of, like, you get out of things what you put into them. And by bringing this analysis and this thoughtfulness, it's like the world becomes a more interesting place. Like, we were talking about Uber, and you were telling me about, you talked to all these people, and it's just the world is more interesting when you know more about it. And when you think more about it, you just have a richer experience. Mm-hmm.
That's why I have the questioner part of my rebelness.
There you go.
Well, I really wanted to be a questioner, but I'm going to take the test again and get different answers.
You're on the questioner wing. We will talk later. Well, listen, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We actually had more than one Miley Cyrus Happiness 911 song tonight. That was mine. We can't stop.
Yeah.
That's one I listen to in the car quite often.
Oh, that's
windows
good.
Down. But now it is time for a happiness stumbling block. And this one is related to the four tendencies.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, Gretch, I know that it's one of your favorite subjects.
Yes.
On that note, I also know you wrote a book about the four tendencies. When is it coming out?
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for asking.
Just popped
off. I am obsessed with the four tendencies. And the book's coming out this summer. I am madly editing right now. So stay tuned for that. We don't know exactly what month it is. But if you want to know when the book is going to hit the shelves, you can go to happiercast.com/ Four Tendencies book. There's really no easier way to do that. Four Tendencies book, and sign up, and then I'll let you know when the book comes out, because I'm really excited about it.
And okay, so I think a lot of people here probably are familiar with the Four Tendencies, but in case anyone isn't familiar, give us just a brief overview of what they are and your thing.
So, so many thoughts. The Four Tendencies are upholder, questioner, obliger, and rebel. And this has to do with how a person responds to an expectation. So there are outer expectations like a work deadline, and there are inner expectations like a New Year's resolution. So upholder, like me, upholders readily meet outer and inner expectations. So they meet the work deadline, they keep the New Year's resolution without much fuss. Next, questioners. Questioners question all expectations. They'll do something if they think it makes sense. So they resist anything that seems arbitrary or inefficient or unjustified. Next, obligers. Obligers readily meet outer expectations, but they struggle to meet inner expectations. So they have no trouble meeting the work deadline, but when it's their own New Year's resolution, then it's more of a struggle. And then finally, rebels. Rebels resist all expectations, outer and inner alike. If you ask or tell them to do something, they're very likely to resist. And so most people can tell what they are from that, but if you want to take the quiz, Chris mentioned taking the quiz, it's at happiercast.com/quiz, and you'll like get an answer for you.
Okay, so let's see if our audience knows what they are and have people clap for your tendency, okay?
I can't wait. Okay.
So upholder.
Upholder, team upholder. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of upholder.
Okay, how about questioners?
A lot of questioners.
Wow. Okay, obliger.
Team obliger. And rebels.
Got some rebels. Got a few rebels.
So this is exactly what you see in the world. Rebel is the smallest tendency. It's a conspicuous tendency, but it's a small tendency. Upholder, only slightly larger. These are the two small tendencies. Overwhelmingly, people are questioners or obligers, and obliger is the biggest tendency. And I think that's what we heard just now. Also, weirdly, rebels often sit in the very front or the very back. I don't know why, but the rebels are clustered in the front here. So, yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk about some stumbling blocks related to each tendency. Yeah. So for your tendency, upholder, what's a big stumbling block?
So I think the big stumbling block for us is that people think that we're rigid, and they're trying to help us loosen up. But what they don't understand is that for upholders, it's actually kind of more satisfying and more reassuring to kind of stick to our ways and to uphold our expectations. And so being told to loosen up often doesn't make us feel better. It makes us feel anxious.
Yeah, it reminds me of like one time you were going to a birthday party and she was just complaining that the dinner was at 8 o'clock. She's like, I don't eat at 8 o'clock. I eat at 5:30. Why are they having this party at 8 o'clock? And I'm going, it's fairly normal time for a birthday party. Yeah. But you were just like so out of your comfort zone with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I had to stay up late. Yeah. Yeah. We don't like to deviate. Yeah.
Okay, what about questioners?
Okay, so here's the thing about questioners, and they totally do not see the irony here. They don't like to be questioned. They get very annoyed when they're questioned. They often enjoy giving information, but they don't like it when anybody questions their judgment or like wants them to take them through their analysis. They just are beside themselves with how annoying that is.
Now, I was telling you to ask Jamie, Gretchen's husband is a questioner, and I was saying, ask Jamie why it's so bothersome. Did he give you an answer?
No, Jamie objected even to this question, and he refused to answer. And when I was like, please just, this is why I need to know the answer to this question. He just kept saying, well, I don't know. You know, so he wouldn't answer. He just couldn't.
I will say some of our listeners have written in who are questioners who have told us that it's very annoying to them because they've done the research, they feel, and they know the answer.
Oh, we get a yes?
An amen.
Yeah.
And so they don't like to be questioned because they feel... Yeah. You should know they've done the research.
Give
and you
the
don't
respect.
Need to ask further questions.
Yeah. They feel like no one that people should trust their judgment. They've done their research.
Ironic since they question everyone else.
Yes.
But
yes.
We all have our
They
quirks.
Do not see that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about obligers, my group?
Now, I mean, so see, tell me if you agree that the big stumbling block for obligers is, you know, they see that they're meeting the outer expectations, but then they're not meeting the inner expectations. And that's just very frustrating because it's like, well, yeah, I never miss the work deadline. So why is it that I'm not able to, you know, practice guitar on my own? They need the outer accountability in order to do it. And that's just frustrating because they would like to just be able to do it without this disparity between the outer and the inner.
Yeah, I agree. That's very frustrating. Like, I want to, you know, eat better, eat less. And I feel like I should be able to do it on my own. But it's like, as I've discussed on the podcast, I go to Jenny Craig. And it's like, if I know that I have that appointment on Saturday with Monique from Jenny Craig, I am Wednesday, I eat differently.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just learned this about myself. And I hate it because I hate having to go and go through this. But it just doesn't work otherwise. And like, if like this weekend, I know I'm not going on Saturday, also affects how I eat on Wednesday.
But I feel like the good thing is that you know that what you need is the accountability. And so it's like at least you can get where you want to go as long as the accountability is there. So sometimes that's the thing is obligers they wish they didn't need that accountability, but I'm like, well, you just need it. So.
I know, but I think a lot of us obligers long to be upholders. I think we'd love, you know, that inner accountability and rigidness and all that. But it is what it is. You have to accept what you need and just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of trying to change yourself.
Yeah, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how about our favorite rebels? What's the happiness stumbling block for rebels?
I mean, their big stumbling block is that people are just telling them what to do. They're like, can you just not like be nagging me, reminding me, telling me what to do, trying to make helpful, you know, pro-con lists. And I think the other stumbling block is that for rebels, they know this, that they want to do what they want to do. They want to do things their way. And they're frustrated because other people don't understand that they're interfering with that process when they intervene. And over people will say, like, well, you know, I was going to clean the kitchen or I was going to apply for a job, but then somebody told me to do it. And then, of course, then I'm not going to because they're not the boss of me. Yeah. And so if they would just not say anything, then I would get these things done because I want to do what I want to do and I want to play for school or I want to clean the kitchen. But when somebody tells me what to do, well, then I'm just not going to. Sometimes even if I want to, it's going to make me not want to. And so they feel like people are putting up roadblocks. And I think it's hard for other people to understand that because your impulse to, like,
tell someone life is other people trying to tell you what to do.
It is. It is.
And that is, it's hard for all of us,
yes.
But rebels in particular
yes. Have
an issue with that.
Yes. So those are the stumbling blocks.
Okay, guys, the time has come. I hope everyone's been thinking of your happiness hacks.
Yes, happiness hacks. Have you been thinking of your happiness hacks?
We have a happiness hack lightning round. We have, so we have two mics.
You get
up
a gold
here.
Star. Come on. You've got your happiness hacks.
Down. And tell us your happiness hack.
There we go. Gold star.
I'll start off.
Okay.
While we're lining up. Yes. My happiness hack this evening is wear shoes you can walk in.
Yeah. Good hack.
Yes. And Adam actually inspired this happiness hack because I went through a phase I was wearing a lot of high heels. And I really can't walk at all in high heels. And he said, whatever you were trying to accomplish with those, you're not accomplishing.
It's a very diplomatic.
Yes. Meaning you look like an idiot. And so I have in recent time been trying to even to just buy shoes I can walk in. And right. It is much easier.
You're better at it than I am. You're way better in heels than
I am. That's maybe not saying much. I don't know.
But, it's not saying much.
So like I have on chunky heels tonight. Yeah. They're still a little heel, but I can, you know, walk in them and stand in them and stuff. So that's my happiness hack.
Okay. All right. First up. All right. First of all, what's your name?
I'm Nicole.
Nicole.
Yeah. Thank
you. Do you live here in Seattle?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So my happiness hack actually really relates to your 911
happiness song. Oh, good.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it before, and so it was so ironic. I recently read a research article that supported this, but my husband and I were doing it like for years. I had to have some medical procedures, and so I had to have shots done.
Yeah. Oh.
And I hate shots.
Yeah.
And so
you hate shots.
So we would sing. Oh, and we would like sing like Here Comes the Sun and just all these different songs. And then I read this research article recently that said music therapy really helps when you're getting shots.
That's a great hack.
That's good to know for kids too, because kids have to get a lot of shots.
And this year, the flu shot, you can't get the flu mist. You have to get the shot. So that's a great hack. Excellent. Oh, thank you so
much. Nicole.
Excellent.
All right. It's,
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Good luck to be here on a work conference, so I was able to come. My happiness hack has to do with your outer order contributes to inner calm.
Oh, good, yeah.
So I have, you know, a house with two kids and a dog, and I've started getting, I have two canvas bags, one at the bottom of the stairs and one at the top of the stairs, and everything that needs to go upstairs, I dump in there, and things that need to come down, because constantly things are wandering through my house, so it helps me to get them back where they belong.
That's great.
Excellent.
That's a great one. And we all have canvas bags, so that's good. Excellent. Okay, next.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I live here in Seattle. And my happiness hack has to do with reconnecting with myself and getting some digital downtime.
Okay.
I am an avid colorer. I do it everywhere I go, but it is such a great way to get out of my head and get out of that scrolling Facebook stream. I do it while I watch TV, or I listen to music, or I do it when I'm listening to speakers, too.
So where do you weigh in on the great marker pencil debate?
I am an avid Sharpie fan.
Sharpie.
It's limited color palette, but it keeps me focused.
Excellent. You know, I have a new coloring book. I'm coming out with a coloring book.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Power of positive coloring.
All right. Yes. Power of positive coloring.
Excellent.
Love that.
Love that.
I'm Tamara. I'm from the Seattle area. And my happiness hack has to do with missing socks. I hate missing socks.
Oh.
So what I do is I make a practice of telling my kids, my husband, and myself to always, when I take my socks off, I fold them up as if I would put them back into my drawer, but then I throw them into the dirty clothes basket, and those don't get unfolded until I wash them. And I have wound up with significantly less missing socks that way.
Nice. Now, how did you get them to do that? Were they easy to train?
Well, my 10-year-old daughter, who's over here in the audience, she doesn't like doing that. However, my husband and other daughter really love that trick.
Okay,
so
good.
They usually use it.
Excellent.
All right, terrific. Nice one.
Hi, my name's Emily. I'm from the Seattle area, and my ultimate happiness hack is being out in nature, and we're so lucky to be out on the trails, and I've got two boys, and when my oldest, who's now 16, was a baby, he was really colicky, and I read that Last Child in the Woods book, and so we went out probably 3 or 4 times a day, and when we were in nature, he would stop crying, and so it became kind of...
I have never heard this. This is so interesting.
It's a wonderful book. So whenever we need to reset or connect, we call it taking it to the woods, and we hike, whether it's a 15-minute or an hour or whatever, but luckily we're able to do it regularly, and it's the best remedy. So.
And so you use it sort of like if somebody's in a bad mood or like somebody, you're like, let's
take
like,
it to
we're
the
taking
woods.
It to the woods.
That's
and
great.
We hit
wow.
the trails and you hear the birds, and we used to have this thing called sit spots, and I'd have the kids find a quiet spot and just listen.
Wow.
So that's my happiness.
That's
I
great.
I love it.
That's
taking
great.
That's it
like
to
a
the
home. That's like a try this at home.
Hi, I'm April from Issaquah, Washington. I'm here with 5 of my girlfriends.
Oh,
and my ultimate happiness hack, which I just thought of while we were prepping, is to disconnect your landline phone. Just thinking about that makes me so happy. Not to have to worry about the voicemails and are you missing the one and only call that is only a telemarketer?
Yeah.
Just disconnect that landline. And hallelujah.
So have you done this or you're thinking about doing
I'm
this?
I'm thinking about doing it. It's making me very happy.
All right, well, email us when you've done it. Email us.
Yeah,
so
that's
know.
Right. I'm an obliger.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
That's your
expectation.
I will email
outer
you.
Expectation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I have a whole thing about voicemails. And I'm like, maybe I could just not have voicemails.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried that. You can't do that.
You can't do that. Okay, well, excellent. Yeah, simple and effective.
Thank you.
That's
all right.
So we'll give an update on that.
Hi, I'm Susan. I live here in Seattle, too. It was something recently that I discovered I'm a rebel.
Oh, interesting.
And I love learning languages. So recently I decided to finally check out Duolingo, which is supposed to be this really great app for learning languages. And I was having a great time with it, and my little kids were enjoying doing it with me. And then I started to get notifications to say, keep your streak going, get back on. And it took a week and a half, and I didn't go near it. I just didn't want to do it. And these notifications kept coming, and I kept saying, I'm not going to do it. So I went in, and I just turned off all the notifications. And it took another week for me to realize, I want to do it again. So I went back in, and I started playing it, and it was such a relief not to get a message and a reminder that I should be keeping my streak going. And then I realized that that's the same thing with anything that comes in on my spam. Anything that I've signed up for that I'm interested in, as soon as I get an email in telling me, oh, you might like this, I'm just like, no, I don't want to do it. So I'm going to go in and get rid of the notifications on everything that I would enjoy, except they're reminding me to do it.
But this nice. Turn off notifications.
This is such a brilliant example, though, of how, okay, I just have to say it, how knowing your tendency can allow you to set your life up. Because for some people, those notifications would be really powerful and effective and helpful. And you just had to say, like, they're getting in my way. And I need, it's just like, it's very simple, but you have to understand, like, it's not something, it's just the process of something telling you what to do.
Right. And it's a thing that I really like doing, but if they tell me I have to do it, I'll do it alone.
So for somebody that could be very helpful for you, it's actually counterproductive. And so, excellent. Good. So just know yourself and like put it into action. Excellent, excellent, excellent hack.
Thank you. All right.
These are so great.
I know.
I'm Melanie from Portland, Oregon, and my happiness hack is to set a positive intention for the day.
Oh, okay.
And I
All right.
And one of the things I've noticed is that I'm really good at doing this when everything's going great. And I'm also good at digging down deep for it when things are really challenging and overwhelming. So, for example, as I was preparing to get here today, it was kind of chaotic with work and balancing life and stuff. So I reminded myself, live the bigger life. So it was helped channel the energy in the right direction.
Excellent. Yay. Excellent. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
That's great. Yes. Thank you for fighting the chaos.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm from Seattle, too. It's so funny because I'm also a rebel. And side note, I had the same story with that same app.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody should call their, like, customer care people.
I started to feel really guilty when it was like, you're losing your French skills, so I deleted it. But I need to just get rid of the notifications.
That's so funny.
My happiness hack is buy a container. So I'm an underbuyer also, and we've moved a lot. We actually moved from Los Angeles and in the past couple years. And when there's stuff on the floor, there's a mess or something, I'm tentative to buy something. But when I buy a basket or a container, even if it doesn't have a permanent spot, it makes my life and my husband's life so much easier because there's not a mess anymore. It's contained. And so I just go on Amazon now and get a couple containers and keep buying them, and it no fail.
Yeah, that's great. Right.
It's like a metaphor for life.
Yeah, no, it makes a huge difference. Like, and everything looks better arranged on a tray or put in a box. That's excellent, excellent.
Yeah,
simple and effective.
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm from Seattle also. My happiness, well, I'm an obliger, and this hack started out as a New Year's resolution, which we all know doesn't work for obligers. So, mine is to do something I've never done once a month.
Ooh.
So it could be a new restaurant or it could be going to the happiness podcast.
Yes.
Hey. And it's a way to get out and do something fun. And it's also engaging someone else. So you're putting that outward expectation to actually do it. As well.
That's the accountability part.
The accountability.
There's the accountability.
And you enjoy it for yourself.
Excellent. Oh, what a great hack.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kat. I'm from Seattle, and my happiness hack is something that a lot of Seattleites do, which a lot of other people think is weird, which is to not carry an umbrella.
It
rains a ton here. It rains all the time, but there is loveliness in feeling that wet, soppy, gross beautifulness so that when it happens, you're living it, you're feeling it, and then you get home and you put your big robe on and your big slippers and your big cup of hot cocoa and you're like, ah. But you can't feel until you felt, ugh. So that's my hack. Thank you.
Wow, I love that.
Okay.
All right. Now, right, we just have time for like a couple more.
I think, yeah, we can do one more on each side and then we got to move on. But this is so great. This is so great.
So I'm Trish. I'm from Seattle. And I was talking to a friend today about how she had to take her three kids to the doctor. And I was reminded of a happiness hack I used to do with my little kids when we would have to go to the doctor. And, you know, you'd get into the room and then you'd wait.
Yes.
And I realized one time my kids like flipped the light switch off and I was like, dance party. And I pulled out my iPhone, and on the flashlight, there's a strobe. So you pull out one of your 911 happiness songs, strobe light, dance party. 15 minutes later, they come in. You're all happy, ready to be relaxed for the doctor.
Oh, my God.
That is, wow.
Where's the strobe?
That's awesome.
I got to figure out how to do the strobe on my phone. Yeah. That's excellent. Okay, last one. Thank you for, I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody. This is great. And you get a gold star for being the last one.
This feels like a lot of pressure here.
I know. Yeah, no pressure.
Better
no
be
pressure.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
My name is Julie. I'm also from Seattle. And my husband and I moved here about 2 years ago from Colorado. And I have had a really hard time keeping in touch with my dearest friends who I love and love to talk to, but I'm very out of sight, out of mind, and months would go by without talking to them. So a few months ago, I did some research, and I found an app that lets me like super customize alarms. And so every other Tuesday, an alarm goes off to tell me to text one of my best friends, and every other Thursday, another one goes off. So I don't know if they've realized that every other Tuesday, they get a text from me at the same time. But I figured I'm probably thinking about it more than they are, but it's really helped me reconnect with those friends and like maintain those friendships and feel like I'm investing there. So,
so what's the app, did you say?
It's called Alarmed.
Alarmed.
And yeah, so I couldn't do the alarm customizations on the iPhone clock thing, so this other one's been really helpful.
But the other thing I would say about this is that like I think sometimes people feel like friendship is supposed to be like spontaneous and that it's like part of like fun and staying connected is it's just like it just happens naturally. But in fact, in the busyness of life, a lot of times you really need to make an effort. And if you need to like do it every other Tuesday, like if that's what works, that's great because relationships are, you know, the most important thing. That's a brilliant idea. Simple and effective. The hack.
Nice.
Thank you, everyone. These are so great.
Thank you, everyone. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
You're gonna give your love to me.
And that was Not Fade Away by Buddy Holly.
Your happiness. Yes,
I think that's it for 911 song. So, Tamara. Okay, yeah, Elizabeth, where it was like, who's up? And I'm like, oh, you got the live show.
I have the live show, Tamara. Okay, so, Gretchen, you'll remember in a previous podcast, I discussed Candy Crush.
Ooh.
And how my iPhone dying, the one silver lining of that was that it took me back to zero on Candy Crush, and that's how I got off of Candy Crush because it was hurting my career.
Yes.
And yes. I was done with Candy Crush.
Yeah. You were like the gambler who's on the deny list at the casino.
Yes.
You were out.
Okay, well, I had a moment of weakness. And I started playing Candy Crush again.
Okay, but how did it appear?
It comes on the phone, or maybe because I had already downloaded it on my previous phone, it was on my phone. But it's always been there. It's just I pretended like it wasn't there, and I knew I'd have to go back to zero, and who wants to do that?
Right.
But then I was just having such anxiety, and I just needed to relax, and my Lumosity games weren't doing it for me. So I was like, let me just play Candy Crush for a minute. I probably won't even like it anymore.
Oh, man. You should have called me.
Yes, hours later. now, I will say this. I have not paid a dime. I was paying for more lives and more levels, like a lot. That was the other issue. I haven't paid a dime yet.
Now, are you... Okay. Do you want to give it up, or do you want to keep playing for free, or what do you want? Because this could be, it's all about what you want.
Based on how much time I've spent, I think I should give it up. Now, Jack has generously offered to secretly delete it from my phone.
Yeah, and can I just say, if your six-year-old is going to do an intervention, it's not a good sign.
Yeah, this morning he's like, Mommy, let me delete it. So maybe Jack will be doing that while we're here in Seattle.
Okay.
Secretly deleting Candy Crush.
But you do feel like it's, because in a way you enjoy it. So if you enjoy it and it's not crowding out other more valuable things, then it's okay to have it as a treat. But you feel like it's yes. becoming an unhealthy treat.
Well, it took me, let's just say, a long time to finish Where'd You Go, Bernadette? It was like, because I had like a lot of Candy Crush in the middle there.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Gretchen, end us tonight with a gold star.
With a gold star. Okay, so one of the things that like ancient philosophers and contemporary scientists agree is that gratitude is really important for a happy life, and that people who feel grateful are happier and they're even healthier. But one of the things about gratitude that everybody notices is that it's very easy to take things for granted. And sometimes the things that you should feel most grateful for are the things that you never think about at all. So you don't think about, oh my gosh, electricity is the greatest thing since electricity, because you just have electricity until your electricity goes out. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like, how was I not so grateful for my electricity? And so I was thinking about something in my life, which is, it's very small. I never think about it. I use it every single day of my life, and yet I should be grateful for it every day because it adds so much value to my life. And that is contact lenses. Mm-hmm. I am so incredibly nearsighted. Like, I could not read this page right now. It would have to be like here for me to read it, because I'm so nearsighted. I've worn glasses since, like, I don't know, second grade. The first thing I do in the morning is put on my contact lenses. The last thing I do when I go to bed at night is take out my contact lenses. I see much better with my contact lenses in, and I look much better with my contacts in.
So you have to show us what you look like in your glasses.
Okay. So this is me in my glasses.
Let me see. I have to say, they don't look that bad. They could use anti-reflective coating.
They don't look great. So I just think, like, this is, you know, I think about, like, Laura Ingalls Wilder or something like that. I'm like, what would I have done without my contact lenses? And so I just think, here's this small thing every single day. And so now I'm really trying to make it into a gratitude practice that when I put my contacts in the morning, I think how happy I am to be putting in my contact lenses. And just to, like, remind me of all those little things that it's so easy to take for granted, even though they add so much to daily life.
So gold star for contacts and all those other little things.
And all the little things. And all the little things. And that is it for Happier.
Live from Seattle. Remember, stay after. We'd love to say hello. You can get Gretchen to sign your books. Also, Chris Gilbo will be here signing books, I think. And we have a temporary tattoo for everyone outside.
Yeah, so fun.
And for the first time, you can buy t-shirts. Yes. Only $20 cash.
Yeah. So we want to give a huge thanks to Chris Guillebeau, our guest. You can buy his book, Born for This, wherever you want to buy your... Yeah, Chris Guillebeau. And also thanks to Jen and Marianne, our two manifesto writers, and for all our audience members who gave us their great, great hacks.
Thanks, as always, to Kristen Meinzer. Yeah. We were so happy to have her here with us in Seattle. Kristen, we always want to party in the USA with you. Thanks, of course, to the great staff at Town Hall. And as always, thanks to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers of Panoply.
And we want to give a special thanks to the indispensable Faith Hill, who is Slate's executive producer for live events, Holly Allen, who did our great slides as always, and to Allie Ferguson, who was our freelance producer for tonight. We're going to post some photos from the show. And so as always, you can go to the show notes, which is happiercast.com/87. This is episode 87.
Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Gold star to anybody who rates and reviews us.
So thanks for joining us.
Onward and upward. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.